Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're the new generation. The new generation. And we believe now. We believe.
We believe.
It's a televised revolution. We want democracy. We fight all oppression. We're tired of murder and greed. We want our freedom. Like the Statue of Liberty. We want to see our children live better than you and me. The whole city is a dance floor. It's a celebration for the whole world to see. Things are really changing. From Africa to Asia, through Europe, across the sea, everybody's got their head up, ain't nobody's on their knees, and the bombs stop lying, and we gave the quiet sky, and we stared in love and wonder, as a miracle gone by, and it ain't like it used to be, cause it's better than it was, we're the new generation, we believe in love. 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 The new generation. Now we're sharing our money. Now we're helping tough lives. Now we're calling up our brothers, saying I apologize. Love is stronger than the Terminator. Love in every baby's eyes. You're crawling out of that dirty gutter. Tuxedos on your mind. You want a glass of champagne. You want it paid for by the pain. Shout your national anthem for all your countrymen that died in vain. You're the new prince ruler, the Red Dawn Cairo King, an international inspiration, the number one topic most trending. And now the bombs have stopped flying, and we gaze in quiet sky, and we stand in love and wonder. As a miracle gone by, and it ain't like it used to be, cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in love. We believe in love. Connected like mother and child. It's a worldwide network. You better log on before you die. Cause the old God is over. And the new way is baptized. And now we're storming through the palace. Singing, dancing, you know why. Waving peace flags on the balcony. Yeah, we just changed history. Here we all join hands. And thank God for listening.
Talk about the king before us. They
leader of the globe, feed the souls of those in need. I bleed the blood of the struggle, walking over trouble puddles. Hustles in my chest, no hustle, no progress. Extremities of life in this process. Birth of a son, death of another. With love, I caress both mothers and told them who's in control is the one that's above us. I walk where money talks and love stutters. Body language of a nation going through changes. The young become dangerous. Pain gets fenced into anger. Anger gets sent through the chamber. It's tough when you own look like strangers. We are the sons of gangsters and stone rangers. If you could, how about Ernie Barnes paint us? Look at the picture, hard not to blame us. But time forgives in the sky where the young die often. Do they end up in a coffin because we haven't talked them? Is it what we talking? We really ain't walking. Dudes hustlers pay, how much did it cost them? Find myself on the same corner that we lost them. Real talking, in they ear like a Walkman. Thoughts been around the corner to the world. When I see them, I see my baby girl. Believe, believe,
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe,
believe.
The fire.
Becomes a means to get it by any ways necessary. Very under pressure. Children feeling lesser, which is still in front of dresser. Killing will aggressive. Destiny's children, survivors, soldiers. In front of buildings, they eyes look older. Hard to see blessings in a violent culture. Face against weapons, sirens, holsters. That ain't the way that Langston Hughes wrote up. Soul controllers on the shoulders of Moses and Noah. We go from being precious to Oprah. Cultivated to overcome ever since we came overseas today. In the way that you can see to be determined. Solar keeps burning, shawty's know to keep learning. Lessons in our life, but life stripes to be earning. Took Gramps' advice, that crisis we turning. Like a thief in the night, I write the beacons of light. For those of us in dark alleys and park valleys, street hits, spark rallies of the conscious conquerors of a concept that seems beyond us. Even through the unseen, I know that God watches. From one king's dream, he was able to barack us. The prophets, nothing can stop us.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die.
Welcome to our show tonight. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. And welcome to EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we're going to be talking about love in the hood. In other words, will love solve some of the issues that we have in our urban communities across America? Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on our conversation. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. They will be responded to accordingly. Again, call-in number is 424-258-9271. We got 90 minutes, and in those 90 minutes, I want to hear from you, those who are listening. I want to know your views about black love in urban communities. Will it help solve the gun violence crisis across America? Will it help community relations? Will it help us as a whole to learn to love one another unconditionally? That what counts most is for any of us to make it, we have to count on each other. It's time for us to change the mindset of only the strong survive, survival of the fittest, we need to get to a point where we must know that in order for your child to make it, we all have to work together. And it takes an unconditional commitment of real love, expecting nothing in return, but all reaping the rewards of sharing and stop this individual selfish practice that we have been doing for such a long time. Love could bring back community unity. This is what we need. This is what we're talking about tonight. Again, the call-in number is 424-258-9271. There are no right or wrong answers. Feel free to express your view, your experience, your doubts, your solutions, the problem. This is your time. Feel free. Again, the chat room is open. And again, my name is Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. You can find us on Facebook, or you can go directly to our website. That's www.saveourchildren.org. You can also contact us by email. That's at eie.saveourchildren@gmail.com. We're going to get this thing started in just a moment, but first I want to take a short break because I'm trying to get a little something organized here, but we will be back.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus children, Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You better tell your story.
And we're back. Tonight we're talking about love in the hood. That's love in the community. I'm not talking about romance. I'm talking about an unconditional commitment to love your community, to be a part of your community, to remember, in order for your community to thrive, you must have a mindset of as our common welfare comes first. In order for communities to thrive, it takes the people of the community. We have to get out there and we have to get involved. We have to love our children unconditionally. We have to learn to love other children that don't come from our households unconditionally, because some kids come from homes where there's a lack of love. It is time to get involved, and I want to know, can we do it, and how do we make it happen? My first call on the line is Brother Bertram. I'm going to bring him right in again to join us tonight. The call-in number is 424-258-9271. Good evening, brother. How are you? Brother Bertram, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Brother Tony?
Good. Thanks for calling in tonight. What do you think about topic tonight?
Man, it's actually very, very good. It's been something that's been on my mind for a moment here. I'm here in North Minneapolis. I manage a sober house. I've been doing this since June 1st, which has really been a blessing experience to me, being a cook for 14 years, a nice change of pace, being able to work with people and give back some of the good things that I got. But for those callers who's not familiar with North Minneapolis, it is the black part of the state. Most of the black people in the state of Minnesota live here in Minneapolis on the north side, and there's a lot of gangs, drugs, violence, and drive-by shootings, leaving little kids like Nizelle George and Terrell Mays dead for playing in their front yard or just watching cartoons in their living room and stuff.
Mm.
This is due to a lack of love. Now, I'm an ex-gang member, as I said the last time I called in and stuff. And, I sought that out basically because I was looking for that love and that unity that I wasn't necessarily feeling at home. Now, I'm not like everybody else who got into that, because I had a very loving mom. She was 15 when I was born. She kept me against all odds and everything. But the sense of unity and everything, I was really, really drawn to the illusion of love that type of life was to give me. And so it's okay, we love you, so we're going to beat you down for a few minutes so you can be a part of us. Love don't hit.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? We love you, but we're gonna teach you tricks of the trade that can leave you in prison for a period of time or the rest of your life. Love don't do that. You see what I'm saying? Love don't give children guns and drugs and alcohol. And a lot of us, for generations now, I'm 34 years old, have this this misconception of show me some love, right? Or I'm giving up much love and everything. But for what? Now, love sees a kid on the street in front of a corner store selling dope when they're supposed to be in school and says, get your tail in school. Love don't say, get your money, young hustler. Love tells a young man who has five different girlfriends, quit being a whore with your body, not you go, big old pimp.
Mm.
Love for self tells our young men to pull their pants up around their waist and dress with respect, talk with respect, act with respect as distinguished gentlemen. But we don't have that love for ourselves, for our young women. You know, the recent event of the bus driver hitting the young sister on the bus, you know. And if she had more respect for herself, she would have carried herself like a lady. And that bus driver would have treated her like one.
Well, let me interrupt you 1 second now, because I'm glad you brought that up. I personally don't believe he should have hit her the way he did. I mean, he really beat her down like she was a man. I could go with maybe restraining her, but from what I saw, he abused her.
He did. He did do a little bit too much. You know, and I'm kind of torn in between, you know, because
I'm not torn. I don't think He handled that very well. See, I know he knew he was much stronger than her. Number one, she's a female. And the way that I saw that video, I said, wow, I thought that was really over the top. There's nothing in me that can say that she deserved that. I can see him maybe grabbing her and maybe getting her off the bus. But he gave her, for what I saw, a beat down and threw her off the bus. And, you know, I saw some comments also that were made behind the video, and I disagreed with it. I totally disagreed. You know, it was stuff like, oh, well, that she deserved that. Now maybe she'll think again the next time. But for me, it's like, no, that kind of condones what he did. And I'm not condoning what he did, because I thought he was way over the top with how he assaulted her. And that's just my view. I'm not going in between.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I made a YouTube video about that, you know, and I had a sister jump on me about my YouTube video, and then she blocked me before I could respond. But, you know, I went through, hey, I could see where he's coming from because I understand human nature, and that brother lost his temper. Does that make it right? No. A woman should not be putting her hands on a man no more than a man shouldn't be putting his hands on a woman. We should not put our hands on anybody, period. You know, and that's the bottom line of it. You know, the fact of the matter is, such a girl need to have more respect for herself, number one. For the main reason is self-preservation. And for the secondary reason, almost equal to the first reason, that shines a light on the rest of our sisters out here who don't carry themselves like that. The same way that I tell the brothers from the Black Man Stand Up movement, pull your pants up, put your hat straight, and man up, because I look like you and I'm sick of looking like this. The same kind of goes for our sisters who are out here not carrying themselves as a lady. And it goes right back to where we are portrayed, you know, in the mainstream as being ignorant is the way to be. Or, and I'm not going to say ignorant, but I'm going to say ignorant, you know, and speak on that level a little bit. You know, I have this formula where ignorant equals weakness, stupidity equals death. Knowledge equals power, and wisdom equals life. And, you know, ignorant equals weakness because ignorance is the lack of knowledge. Knowledge empowers you. Wisdom is the acting out of knowledge and application of that to your life. So it's going to give you life. Stupid is, and stupid does. And it's more than a physical and even spiritual debt. You know, because, you know, me working in the recovery field, I see brothers do some really stupid things. Like, knowing it's wrong, but do it anyway, and end up having to start their life all over again for some of these guys the 27th time. And it's all because of a lack of love or even knowing what it looks like. We don't really know what it looks like. We think love means somebody shot my boy, so I'm going to shoot somebody else. We think love means getting tore up drunk and acting a fool in the neighborhood when these kids out here die from the other one. You know, love don't say, free my nigga JoJo, excuse my language, because he killed somebody. You know, my brother right now is facing life in prison. You know, and I loved my brother. I left the gang that I got him into. I did everything but handcuff his arm to mine and drag him to my house and lock him in my basement to get him to quit. And on his way to my house, he stopped and got into something that got him facing life in prison at 26 years old. You know, the kind of love that I gave my brother. Yeah, you know, and if I would have showed him from the get-go by loving myself first, you know, all this stuff could have been avoided. And it's really kind of hard for me to pinpoint because it's a big cycle of many, many things that have this illusion of love out there that isn't even true put in our eyes, and we think it is what it is. It's almost like we have a reprobate mind as a people.
Well, hold on a minute, brother. Yeah. Hold on a minute. I'm listening to you, and you're saying a lot, and one of the things that's sticking out to me is before we can learn to love one another, we need to learn how to love ourselves better. Is that what I'm hearing here? Because I'm hearing people are not loving themselves, therefore they're not able to love others the way that they should.
Yeah, exactly. We need to learn how to love ourselves right. for a good list of us, love ourselves, period. If we're living every day like we're going to die, how is that love for ourselves? If we look at the love for a mother to a child, that mom's going to do what she has to do to keep her baby alive. And by doing that, she's going to do what she has to do to keep herself alive, to keep that baby alive. For the most part, I'm starting to see that kind of disappear, too. It seemed to be only a problem with the males of our people. It's seeming to kind of bleed over to the feminine side of our people, too, in a way of just flat out self disrespect. Love don't do
that. So we're lacking big time in self love.
Exactly.
And therefore, this is part of the issue we have with the community as a whole. We're not loving ourselves enough to be able to share that love with others unconditionally. Now, I mean, is that our self-esteem? Is that our self-respect? Is that our self-pride? Is it all of it in a whole? Because,
there's a lot,
you know, I look
at
what's going on. I'm looking at what's going on, and, you know, you talked about a couple of things as far as how we present ourselves, how we look. You know, you mentioned the pull up your pants issue. You mentioned the love that the cat on the block gives you as far as getting you involved and saying, you know, we're your family now, we love you. You know, we're going to show you how this goes, but in the end, you may die or go to the penitentiary. And for me, that's false love and that's false hope. And you being set up by your own. That's not love. That is not love. You're being used for someone else's agenda. And these are the problems we have with love in the community. Because that's not real love. You know, the community love is lacking big time across the nation. There's no love out there. It's every man for themselves. Every man for themselves. Young women are not taught self-love. You know, look at how they look today. Look, you got little girls looking like grown women. And they're little girls. Weaves down to the back, tattoos everywhere. They say this, they do that. And nobody's saying, look, little sis, that's not how it goes. This is who you really are. What you're doing is promoting a false image. You're rolling with something that's going to get you in trouble. It's going to get you pregnant early. Okay, you wind up being an unwed mother. And you're not built with the skills to be a parent. You know, us sharing that with our young teenage women, that's real love. You know, we got to stop condoning negativity. And we do a lot of that. We do a lot of that. And we don't want to take the blame. We don't want to be accountable for that. You know, And we need to be. We really need to be. You know, there's enough negative influences out there as far as media and entertainment. And we're a part of it, too, because we're condoning it. We're co-signing it. And that's our fault. That is our fault. We live in a very angry society. You know, we got angry, troubled youth and young adults in our communities. And they're angry because of something you said, lack of love. They're not getting it in the home, so they're hitting the street. And those that tell them they love them have let them down. So their feelings are hurt and they're angry. Time to change that. Really is time to change that. Because we need some love in our communities. Because it's not there. Not there. A lot of hate on the streets. People hating you because you go to college. You know, that's wrong. That's wrong. You know, you don't get the respect because you're trying to do the right thing. That's wrong. You get the pat on the back if you're promoting the nonsense. You know, that's some backward stuff. And we really need to check ourselves hard and take a look at ourselves. You're listening to our conversation tonight. Our calling number is 424-258-9271. The chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. If you call in, press 1. I know you're in the queue. We're talking about love in the hood, what we need to change, how we need to learn to love ourselves so we can love others. This is a very strong topic to me. Our communities is filled with hate and anger, and it's time that we change that. And it's very easy. We need to follow those who lead by example, who are loving themselves instead of hating on them. Find out how it goes. Learn how to love yourself so you can love others, because it's truly, truly up to us. Nobody's going to come do it for us. We need to change our mindsets about each other and our community. We need each other. Our communities are hurting because of lack of love, and it's time to change that. We have the power to do it. All we need is the willingness to change our mindsets and bring love back to our community, because there is no love in our communities today. When you can stand by and watch another individual get beat down, hurt, that's not love. It is time to change that. It is time to get involved and say no more. That we are not animals, and we can love one another on an unconditional basis. I'm going to take a small break, and I'll be right back.
Oh, there they go. There they go.
Due to the overwhelming amount of listener requests, the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour will be expanding to 3 shows a week.
Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., Barbershop Talk. Call in and express your views.
Every time I start talking about boxing.
Uncensored.
I met Dr. Michael K. once, and you lied.
Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m.
He beat Joe Lewis's ass.
That's right, he did whoop Joe Lewis's ass.
On Thursday night, join us for Lenny's Life Lessons. A former All-State basketball player and now a father, radio personality Leonard Miller shares his youthful wisdom as the co-host of the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour on Thursday nights. On Friday, join us for Harv's Funny Friday. In the tradition of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, comedian Harvey Knowles starts your weekend off right with 1 hour of laughter on Friday night from 7 to 8. And it all starts June 6th. 2 new co-hosts, 3 incredible shows on the
Reggie
Bullock
Radio Hour.
And we're back. Tonight we're talking about love in the hood. Calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Also, our chat room is open. You can leave your comments. They will be answered accordingly. Next call on the line is a brother. He's a friend of mine. I'm going to bring him right in on the conversation. Welcome to the show, brother Antonio. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing quite well, my brother. I'm glad to be here. I'm so glad you all have this forum. You and Reggie, you all just keep doing what you do, which is a great thing, because if we're not talking about topics like this, then the people won't be aware of what's really going on. So I'm just glad to be here this evening.
Well, again, welcome. So what's your take on tonight's topic?
Yeah, when I was there, actually this is my first time back in a while, and when I saw that, I thought about it, because I'm working on a book right now, and that's a key element, almost a whole chapter in my book, about the love that's missing with inside the African-American communities across America. And again, I mean, it is like so deep. It is so many different layers to this thing. To the fact that when we look on the surface, we can really speculate about this and that. However, I mean, it is like there's so many different layers. But the first layer, again, will be our identity. When you just look at it historically, a lot of times people don't like to hear the same old topic about, you know, slavery and Jim Crow, things of that nature. But even across the Atlantic Ocean, you have the apartheid in South Africa, for an example, neocolonialism. People don't have, we don't here in America, we don't have an identity. The great thing about Africans in the diasporas as well as in Africa, you know, they still do have a sense of self-identity, things of that nature. I saw on the one of the comments a sister had made about the culture and the tribes and things of that nature. We don't have that here in America. It's been stripped away. And I found that because of the fact that we allow one group of individuals, which are the black national opinion leaders, to be the voice and the face and the direction of us, that's really not healthy, especially in the type of society that we live in here in America. The people that I speak of is like, you know, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Rainbow Push, National Action Coalition. These individuals are like they're the voices for us. And because of the fact, just like any special interest group in America, just like any organization in America, you have to bring in money. These people have to bring in money to stay relevant. So you know, history will show that they really took African Americans off course. As a result, I mean, you know, if you go to any hood, folks like, I don't give a dang or whatever about Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, this and that, because XYZ. I mean, these guys are not really revered. The only people that really truly still revere these individuals are the older generations of African Americans. So as a result, the younger folks, they don't have no one to really truly represent them, and we live in a representative democracy. So if the politicians don't represent them, and if the church unfortunately seems to don't represent them anymore, then these black national opinion leaders seem to don't represent them, then of course with any child that is orphaned, for an example, they're going to have bitterness, they're going to have disdain. So it's my theory that's essentially where the lack of love comes from with inside African-American communities. Because, again, a lot of us come up, single-parent mothers like myself. It's a tragedy that some kids, I know so many cases of a lot of my friends that were abused, females sexually abused because of that type of lifestyle that their parents their mother, single mother, lived, to the fact that they were subjugated to violence and all of the abuse and things of that nature. So you have a lot of disdain, you know, hate, bitterness, and things of that nature that really thrive in those poor communities. But to say that is the case across the board throughout the United States of America in all black communities, that's not true. Again, it all goes back to, you know, having a mother and father in your household. I don't know any of my friends, African-American friends, who have a mother and father who are bitter, who are the quote-unquote angry black man or black woman that grew up with a mother and a father in their household. I do not know not one. So, again, you know, it's so many different areas. And in what I just
Hold on one second. Hold a second.
No?
Repeat that last comment you just made about not knowing just one. What did you say? Say that again.
Well, what was that again? Not knowing.
Repeat that last comment you said you didn't know of not one. I didn't catch that whole part.
Oh, I said that I do not, out of all of my friends who came up in a household, black friends who came up in a household with a mother and father, is, you know, like that fits that stereotype of the angry black man or black woman. I just don't, it seemed like all of those individuals are, you know, peaceful, loving, you know, happy-go-lucky type individuals because they had that upbringing. You know, however, when it comes to a lot of my friends, black, white, purple, green, that grew up in a single-family home, I do see that, you know, we do tend to have that type mentality, because I know when I was younger, I had that mentality. I was straight. You didn't want to see me on the streets back in the day, but it took me to go off and to develop and to grow and to learn, and I had to raise myself. See, and if you're a child and you're not being raised properly, you know, by two parents or at least one loving, caring, hardworking, devoted parent, a lot of times you're going to fall off into that that into that trap. And that trap is to be trapped in a community with a lot of different people around you who think like you, and they don't think to better the community. Thus, we get the topic of this show tonight, which where is the love in these communities? Because there is no love in some of the communities I go to in Washington, D.C., in certain parts of D.C., you don't see the love. I mean, you can be killed, you can be stabbed, you can be shot. I mean, it's crazy in some of these communities throughout this country in those communities. But I think we really got to address exactly some of the real reasons. And I really do believe the number one reason is representation. These individuals do not feel that they're being represented. So it's like, you know, if you don't feel in a representative democracy in an entire country that's all about representation, and if you don't feel you're being represented, and if you feel that you are, you know, just being forgotten, trust me, I mean, it is normal, it is typical for you to either do two things, you know, go out there and just say, you know what, bump it, I'm going to do what I do on my own, you know, or number two, you know what, just regress. You know, you either got a choice to progress or regress.
Well, let me say this, if you don't mind. You know, I'm hearing about who's supposed to represent us, and we're not being represented. In our communities, I believe it's up to us to represent us.
That's true.
Okay, if we're waiting for, as you said, Reverend Al Sharpton or Reverend Jesse Jackson, it's not going to happen. We need to stand up for ourselves, okay? I agree with some of what you said. Some of it I don't agree, but most of it I do. As far as, you know,
what you don't agree with.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
As far as coming out of a single parent home, okay, the percentages from what I know, there's a lot of successful, loving children that come out of single-parent home, okay? They don't all come out angry, you know. In today's society, a lot of our youth and young adults who are coming out of single-parent home, they're angry at not the lack of, they're not getting love. They're angry at the fact that maybe dad is not there, or dad is not showing up like he's supposed to show up, or they're tired of watching their friends who have the both parents thrive when they, you know, another one of their friends says, you know, well, my father took me here, or my father did this. So I think there's some resentment, there's some hurt, and also they're angry at the fact that, you know, why? I didn't do anything. Why is my father not here for me? You know, especially if he's not incarcerated, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As far as the two-parent homes, sometime in the two-parent homes, things can be kind of ugly. Can be some
mm-hmm.
big issue of being
domestic violence and
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
So you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, because exactly what I was saying is exactly what you're saying. Like 100% of what you're saying. Just sometimes, you know, I might not articulate myself as I should, but essentially, I'm saying the same thing that you're saying. Because again, you might have a parent. Like for an example, when my mom was alive, unfortunately, she passed away when I was 12. She was a loving parent. She tore my tail up, but the woman loved me to death, and she was a hard-working woman, and she raised all of us, all four of her children, the right way. Now, you might have scenarios, though, unfortunately, with some families or some single parents where, you know, like, I don't want to speak on personal terms, but I know personal scenarios where the single mother, you know, was too busy, and these are my relatives. And I don't want to get any more personal than that, but chose to, you know, be in the streets and to be in the club and just all of this silliness, want to make sure that they got to have a drug dealer for every, you know, man that they lay up with. And as a result, it's just, you know, their children are going down that same path, angry, bitter attitude, and just almost evil. I mean, just like no love whatsoever in these children now, you know, now that they're grown. And I see that it's a continual theme. However, I know so many cases where you do have a single parent, and if you're loving and you're caring and you're working hard, these kids are not like that. Like, for an example, the kids that I mentor in Washington, D.C., for an example, these kids got loving parents who care. And these kids are not angry, bitter, evil, and mean, and things of that nature. I mean, they're not going to ever be that way because their mother, their single mother, care about them. They care about them enough to entrust them with an organization like the organization I volunteer with, you see. But some parents, like, you know what, bump that, nobody, this and that, no one is going to tell my child this and that, and the fact that they miss it, they don't get it. And because that parent don't get it, the children don't get it. And when you're trying to come up in this world, it is extremely complicated. It's confusing. And when you're confused, you get frustrated, you feel left behind, and then that's when you start to develop that attitude. But this question is more so, I mean, you're talking about psychology. You're talking about socioeconomics. It is so many different avenues and areas that really you have to look at to really be able to say, okay, why in these communities you have that? Because, you know, I'm a country boy. I'm from Georgia. And I'm telling you, it's the same mentality in poor white communities.
Really?
It's the same mentality.
Hold on to that for a moment. Callers, listeners, please call in. I'm trying to get a woman to call in. So, ladies, if you're listening, please dial in 424-258-9271. I want you to chime in on this. I want to hear your views. We're going to take a brief 60-second break, and we'll be right back.
For years, black folks said America was the enemy. Now black folks leaving black folks dead in the streets. Exploit Trayvon Martin, concealer just like me. Engaging black on black crime, you consider G. We cannot separate the real from the fake. I'm the shark, you the bait, only those real could relate. But sometimes I think we already chose our fate. But deep inside, I pray it's not too late. It's hard to see a black child killed by a black man. Then an older black man blame the white man. Young black man, finger on the trigger. But all he wanna do is just kill another. Now I'ma sell out cause I speak the truth. The only reason why I rap to get this message to you. I don't know what else to do to get through. I made the first move, now it's all on you.
Children dying and people crying. What's going wrong, wrong, wrong in this world? Who can you trust when everyone around you lying? What's going wrong, wrong, wrong?
And we're back. Our next caller on the line is a brother out of Brooklyn, New York. He's the street educator. I want you to welcome to the show, Brother Efron Cherry. How are you tonight, brother?
I'm good, Brother Peace. It's good to be able to talk with each and every one of you that's out there. Thank you. I'm enjoying the topic you're having this evening.
Yeah. I know this would draw you. I know this would draw you. We're talking about love in the hood. We got Brother Antonio Merrick on the line and Brother Bertrand right now. Their mics are on hold, but I'm going to open them up after you finish. So what's your view on
tonight's
topic?
This is very interesting, Brother. My personal view is we have to be honest with exactly what the human values has been reduced to when it comes down to being able to establish a family and establishing a community and establishing the reality of your cultural ties. It's been so strongly reduced, man, to the point where we have little more respect for ourselves than we were slaves on the plantation as we do today off the plantation. And the psychological game that's being played, a great number of us is not wise enough, well-informed enough to really understand it. So when it comes down to it, it's almost like we are people at war. We have people, like your brother was saying, that comes from certain decent backgrounds, and then we have those of the same culture that comes from mixed up, totally distorted human value of a community of people. And we are going against one another because one wants to either be, you know, better than one, have more than one, or to prove to themselves that they have some sense of power over one. So for all of these distorted reasons, we have a very serious concept of war going on. And the worst part about it, a fellow just asked me today about voting. One of the worst, the most dehumanizing ideal of the whole matter is that you get people with these degrees upon their walls and they believe that they're so far more educated. And I said, if you haven't from the early 20s until this stage in life, if you haven't been able to find a better way to place a greater value on human life, if you can tell me that you took a trip to the moon and you celebrate, if you can tell me that you have found different ways to create all of these electronics that everyone is using and you're celebrating, but you have not reduced the level of murder, you have not reduced the level of self-destructive wars, if you not have increased the intellectual ability to have a higher level worldwide for human life, more so than ever before, then intellectually, intelligently, as a human being, how far more advanced today than you are of the animal that's sitting back watching you? So when you ask the mind like a man like me, I say personally, we have, those of you that are conscious enough and human caring enough, we have an all-out job, and that job is to be able to humanly come together and reinstill the human caring, unified people for the sole purpose of human caring. That's what it's all about. Now, people can say what they want to say on behalf of what I say, but I tell you, statistically, take a good look. Next thing is, what child comes straight out of his mama womb, and by the time it ends at a young age of 10 years old, it ends up with a gun in his hand? Who's feeding that child? Where do they get these moralities from? Where do they get these principles from? And then I tell them again, from my own personal life, my own personal development, intellectual ability from the time I left my mama's womb, where did I get the ideals to incarcerate, to end up in the criminal concept, to end up with those weapons in my hand? Where did I get them from? And I definitely didn't get them from my mother. My mother was the kind of woman, may she rest in peace, that she had an extension cord. My mother was the kind that even if she didn't have nothing to eat, my mother would make sure that you would take a good night even if you had some sugar rice. But you wasn't hungry. My mother would sit there crying, wouldn't let you see her tears, but she would sit there crying because she didn't have enough to get sneakers to put on your feet. So when it came down to it, these things I didn't learn from her. I learned from my community the first time I even knew what it was to think that I found a slick way to survive at a higher level of being a poverty-stricken child. So when we get a real chance to really intelligently weigh it, we have work to do, and we have to go and tell these particular people at these universities, and we have to tell these people at the unemployment, and we have to tell these uneducated, and we have to tell those in the corner that God expects you to be a unified people. I have made you the tilders of the God, not the corruptors, not the destructors of the garden. But because it's not being ministered, it's not being preached in that manner, it's because it's not being educated in that manner, a great number of the newborn can't see it. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, people say what they want to say, but it hurts when you come out of your mama's womb and you in that household and you have no real self-worth. You don't feel like you as beautifully blessed a child as you want to feel because you don't have two people in that household to say, I came from you, and look at the beauty of my family tree. People don't think that hurt. They're wrong. You know, it hurts. Believe me. I know. I lived it.
You know, Brother Efren, you hit some real key points, and I understand what you're saying, you know, as far as what you were given from the community, that's not happening today. You know, what I see happening, this really, really, you know, gets to me. When a mother or a father loses their son or daughter due to gun violence, and their son or daughter's friends, so-called friends, talk about the love they had for the lost child. And they know who shot and killed this child, and they don't say anything. That's not
exactly
love. That's not
even no highly. That's not even respect, man. That's not even respect for yourself, because when it becomes your turn to become a victim of it, even if it's by a straight bullet, when it becomes your turn to cry, now you are the one walking around begging people to help you get some sense of justice out of it, to help get some sense of support, anything that you can get to be able to humanly make you feel like you're still alive after that happened to one of your loved ones. So when you get a good look at it, either way, brother, it's just unbelievable, man. Again, like I said, the only thing that's going to be able to correct this whole matter is to rehumanizing, to reinstilling, to restructuring values of a people to be a people again, and not for the materialistic things you're in possession of, or your beauty parlors, your barbershops. Your idea that you breathe should make you beautiful to each other.
I agree. Listen, I'm going to open the mic. I'm going to bring Brother Antonio and Brother Bertram back in, because I'm quite sure they have some comments. I'm going to start off with Brother Bertram. Brother Bertram, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And, peace, I just want to say, peace, brother. I just want to say that, you know, I'm very grateful as a young man to be able to sit in on these conversations with y'all. You know, I relate so much to what this brother here just said. It seems like we come from the same place, just in a different part of this country, you know. And then the program I work for, we have this thing called moral recognition therapy, you know, that the clients in our program go through to kind of we introduce them to the program. We say, are you ready to get what's rightfully yours? This is your birthright: financial security, stability, emotional security, stability. Okay, physical security and stability, the right young man to be a father to your child, you know, the right young lady to be a mother to your child, to have these things, you know, a job, a car, peace, success, love, all these things. But what stops you from getting it, you know? And all these things echo this MRT class that I used to kind of facilitate too as well. And most of it, where it's coming from is seeking pleasure to avoid pain. And the pain that we're avoiding, for the most part, is the same pain I felt. Not having that parent in the household to look up at my mom and my dad to say, I came from that. You know, I met my dad when I was 14. I remembered him as a young child, you know, but I met him when I was 14. And then I was going to come live with him. And then some about 2 weeks before I was going to come live with him, you know, he kills his girlfriend and ends up in prison until I was 22. So eight years and 3 children later, I finally get to connect with my father, and he was so out of touch after coming out of prison that all the promises he made me and his other 2 children when he was in there, he broke right away. He didn't know what it was to have a dad in his life. His dad was a military man, though, so it was a little different than in my case with having teenage parents, which is almost doomed to fail. You know what I mean? But here we are now. And in order for me in my mind to try to figure out a solution to the problem, I have to first identify it. And it goes into the seeking pleasure to avoid the pain of the situation that we're in and that we have to go through to get through in order to grow and heal from it. And I see this every single day working with this company that I work with here in Minneapolis, and it's hitting the nail right on the head to say that there are white communities that deal with this. I'm part Native American. I see the reservation and my people on the reservation, and some of these reservations look like third world countries. They don't have running water or electricity because their elders are seeking pleasure to avoid pain instead of just finding a way to actually do what it is we got to do, not for ourselves, because we're just like a temporary player in the thing. It's the generation before me has made a way for my generation to survive, and my generation has to make a way for the next generation to survive and so forth. Then if we get a little bit deeper and we realize the difference between surviving and living, then there the stakes go a little bit higher than that. Because I try to teach my children how to live.
Oh, brother.
Hold on, Brother Efren. Let him finish, because I want to bring Brother Antonio back in, because he mentioned something that I wanted him to speak on when Brother Bertrand finished. Go ahead, Brother Bertrand.
Yeah, you know, and you know that's pretty much where I'm going with it. To me, if we don't identify these things that we're going through, we're going to have a hard time getting to love. We're running from it, and that's the only thing that's going to heal our problems.
Brother Antonio, you still there? You mentioned about what's going on in the white community, how they suffer from the same lack of love. And Brother Bertram, he just touched on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to hear this type of dialogue, I mean, it. I know for a fact that there is hope, because whenever you can get men and women to come on and have these type of discussions, especially about, you know, spreading more love, you know, it's a great thing. You know, it's a start, that there are good people out there and that we could spread love and affection throughout not only our communities but throughout America as a whole. But again, you know, it doesn't make good drama when it comes to television, and television is really what spread the messages. But before I get to that, what you you wanted me to talk to you about in reference to the white communities, I want to let Brother Efren know basically what you just said. I mean, you literally hit the nail on the coffins. I mean, I literally got chills when I heard you say what you said, because you literally hit all word for word. Like, for an example, this is my philosophy. You know, I had this dream of, you know, and my whole life since a kid, coming from, you know, the streets and all that other craziness, to try to solve the problems. My whole goal was to be the one that, hey, I'm going to solve the problems. But as I started to learn, went to school, got a little education, and learned true leadership and what a true leader means, you know, it's really, you know, you got to be a tactician to be a true leader. Now, you might come to the realization that, hey, someone might be able to communicate or may be able to articulate something better than you. So you need to make sure that that person is a spokesperson. So for an example, if I had an organization, someone like Brother Efren would be the one that would be the communicator. You know, so instead of me trying to take, I want all the glory and the power and the fame, you know, it's about, you know, building a team. Even if you come to I get them to the point where, you know what, I might not even be the executive director. I might just be the administrator. You know,
amen.
What I mean? But no one might never see me. But that's what's missing. And that's the reason why we have the problems that we have now in black communities, because we don't have we have people who have the passion. I don't doubt at all that we don't have the passion, but we have the passion, but we just lack the leadership. Because if we had true leadership, and these are with the intelligent and the folks that just have the intelligence to have books who don't have books, we don't have the leadership, because a true leader know when they need to step out the way, when they need to do a little micromanagement, when they need to sit back and let it flow. So that's what we're missing, because if we did have that, trust me, we wouldn't see the problem that we see today. But as it relates to white communities, there are communities, it's essentially, if we sit back, every ethnic group in America, period, point blank, because that's where I go into Chinatown in D.C. for an example, and, you know, some Asian Americans who are struggling trying to make ends meet, and those cats, they'll walk around like they're ready to chop your head off. You know what I mean? Just like when you go into, you know, each community inside this country, it doesn't even matter what race you are. You see that whenever you're trying to make it, when you're trying to go somewhere and trying to be someone, you know, you tend to be sometimes to be a little bit bitter. I mean, and I think it's just that a lot of times we lack humility. We're not as humble as we should be. You know, my New Year's resolution this year was to be more humble. You know, and when you're humble, then you can literally look at your situation and like, you know what, hey, I got something to eat, you know. Hey, I got a roof over my head, you know.
Gratitude.
Or if you don't, have a roof over your head, hey, I can go to this homeless shelter, you know, or I can go to the soup kitchen. Yeah, for an example, I wanted to get away from my wife and my kids for a few days. I said, you know what, I go to a homeless shelter. I got to get away from you guys, you know what I mean, because I don't have money to go to the hotel, you know what I mean? So, you know, and it's just that. You know, it just, if you think of the world that way, then a lot of times you can calm yourself down and don't be so angry and so aggressive. One of my friends that I grew up with, well, I can't really call him a friend, but it's a guy that I grew up with, a white guy that I grew up with. We, you know, we used to go back and forth on Facebook, and I tried to explain to him that, hey, you know, shit, we went to high school together, so, you know, why, you know, you're not trying to give me a call, and why you want to go back and forth about this issue on Facebook. But it was more so kind of similar to what we're talking about. And he, you know, said it clear. Hey, you know, he's trailer trash. He had to endure the same stuff that we endure. You see, and these are the conversations that a lot of these individuals have. But the difference is, it's like here's the one main difference. It's like, that side don't have empathy, not sympathy. There's a big difference between empathy and sympathy. Though that side don't have empathy for our side, and just like, unfortunately, we don't have empathy for their side.
Wow. Can you hold that just for a second, Brother Antonio? I have a lady on the line, and she's been very patient. I want to bring her in. We have time, so you'll be able to continue. But I got to bring this lady in. Gentlemen, I want y'all to welcome Miss Cindy. She's the host of a very good show, the Politically Incorrect Talk Show. I love it. Welcome, Miss Cindy. Good evening, Miss Cindy. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you. Good evening. Good evening.
How you doing?
Good evening.
Peace.
I have been listening in, and forgive me, I'm having some difficulties with my voice tonight, but I agree with all of your previous callers. One thing I want to say, I see that your question here is there real love in the black community across America? I don't believe that it's this mentality that we have subscribed to is isolated to one particular race or ethnic group. As your last caller stated, I believe that many of the folks that have been affected by this mentality of no love primarily are those of the lower economic status. We have gone from a place where it takes a village to raise a child, and it doesn't matter who gives birth to the child. Everyone in the community embraced that child and contributed to that child's upbringing, to a place that I call the Me Fi Me Plan. It's all about me, and I really don't care about you. And so when you talk about that brother getting shot and killed, and there's a crowd of people and probably someone recording it on their cell phones, but nobody knows anything. Well, again, when we had that cohesion, we were all family, and we spoke out. But now we are looked upon as being a snitch if we speak. And
that's
this
right.
has devastated our community. And one of your other...
Good, I'm sorry. Good, finish. Good, I got a comment when you finish. Good.
One of your other callers also stated that leadership was important, and I agree. The leadership in our communities, the African-American communities, and many communities across the U.S. has declined, diminished, and almost non-existent. Many of our church leaders, it's very difficult, based on their wardrobe, to distinguish them from one who should be in the pulpit from the brother on the block.
Uh-oh.
And I know I'm opening up a can of worms,
No, but no, go, go. Time, I want to hear that.
Yeah, open the can.
The garb that was worn in the pulpit distinguished who that individual was, what they represented, what they stood for. But now that they step into the pulpit with a tailor-made suit and some gaiters on, that's pretty much how the brother from the block dressed when he decided to step out in his Sunday's best. So what I'm saying to you is that when you are in a leadership position, you have to model the way in your actions, in your conduct, in your appearance. Not only that, we have to enable people to act accordingly, not just draw them in so that we can get a collection on Sunday. See, yes, we do have unconditional love, and it doesn't just exist on Sunday. It's 7 days a week.
That's
and with
right.
that unconditional love, not only now that you know that we will embrace you regardless of what route you've taken in life, whether you have killed someone, sold drugs, we're going to embrace you and love you unconditionally. And at the same time, we're going to enable you and redirect you and get you on the right path. What I see a lot of these leaders doing, and the reason why I went to the preachers, is because they're so significant.
Yes, they
based
are.
Based on the fact that as African Americans, there was oftentimes in my grandmother's days where there was only one book that existed in the home, and that book was the Bible. This is what we have learned to turn to in troubling times. So now when you have this religious leader who we look to reach out to in our time of need, and this brother is conducting himself or sister in the same manner in which everybody else around us, that becomes problematic. And it does affect our psyche. It affects our thought process.
Yeah,
so as a leader,
right,
we have to model the way. We have to enable others to act. We basically have to inspire a new vision for them. That's the foundation in order to get, or in order to make change, I should say. We got to go back. We got to get that glue, the cohesion, and get back to being not just a community, but a family as a whole. It doesn't matter who gives birth to the child. Miss Jones, Miss Johnson, you know, Miss Jackson, Miss Smith, they handled the business in our parents' absence. And we have to get back to that. And that was what I call true love, when you were embraced by any and everyone in your community, whether your parents were present or not. And that's all I have to say.
Well, you have said a lot, and you know, I gotta chime in behind you about the black church, because they do not promote love in the community. They promote love for the dollar, which, for me, that's the message you put out in the community. And how do they get that dollar in the community? They selling drugs. They hustling. Okay? It's always about money. Money. And that's, for me, is where the black churches, especially the mega churches, I'm going there, are failing the communities that support them. They're not promoting love. They're promoting the dollar. And folks from our communities are running there every Sunday, donating, making donations, when if you have love for your community, donate to your community to build that community center for troubled youth and young adults so they can get services to help them with anger management, education, mental and physical issues, parental skills, teenage pregnancy. That's love for your community. Okay, but instead, what are we doing? We're taking that money and we're dropping it in the basket every Sunday, and Reverend got on that tailor-made suit, that bear gaiters, and that whatever kind of fancy whip he got parked outside. See, these are the areas where, what are we doing? We need to really say, what are we doing? What are we
doing?
What are we really doing? Okay? Because we're volunteering to do this. Nobody's saying, I got a gun in your face, you got to do it. We're volunteering it. And the thing is, Ms. Cindy, if there are some callers listening right now, the call-in number is 424-258-9271. If you disagree with what has just been said, please call in. Your view can be shared. Okay, this is just our view and how we see it. If you have a different view, please call in. Please, or if you're in agreement, please call in. This is what we do in the name of love. No, that's not love. That's not love. Listen to you. I mean, you went in and I got to back you up on that one because that's not love. Our churches is promoting love for the dollar. Meanwhile, poor people are taking their money, putting it in their basket, and rather them is living the lavish life. Something is wrong with that. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I want to piggyback with what you're saying. This is Antonio America again. You're so right about that. I mean, when you look at the civil rights movement, the whole history of that movement, it was pastors. When you think of all the leaders, even to this day, that still are the national black opinion leaders, they all reverend. They all marched and worked with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And it's like, so I see, when I see the black church, I see it, it's one and the same with these national opinion leaders. And that's the thing that my argument, and this is my scholarly argument, is that these individuals, their goal is to stay relevant. And when you're in a special interest or an association type mentality, you got to be relevant by trying to stay on topic with what's current, because what's going on current, what's trending in the media, what's trending now on Twitter, that is what's going to get you donations. That's what's going to get you money. And one of my biggest arguments is the whole Trayvon Martin case. You know, it was like it was a cash cow for so many of these other organizations, and it hurt my heart to see that family be used the way they've been used. But my whole thing, and this is my argument, and this is similar to what the sister had just stated, you know, back to the whole empathy and the sympathy, the difference between the empathy and sympathy. We need to become skilled helpers. We need to have a platform built on, we need a whole new platform built on being a skilled helper. And that's based on caring, having empathy, being non-judgmental, having respect, and just pure genuineness. That's what we need to build a whole new, I don't like to say it because it sounds a little cliche, a movement. But what we need is mediums or platforms like the one that we're using right now to really be able to bring the people together so we can start moving forward. Because the thing about it, there are a lot of organizations in the United States of America as well as across this globe that will be willing to partner with us, help when it comes to financing, because when you're trying to finance anything, if you're trying to do anything, it costs money, unfortunately. You know, it's not like you can do anything on a wing and a prayer. But, you know, the contrast between what we're trying to do, we're trying to spread love. You know, getting out of the mindset of the bitterness, being judgmental, being judgmental when it comes to everyone, Democrat, Republican, nonpartisan. You know what I mean? And because once you start getting into politics, then you're going to end up being judgmental, then you're not going to be genuine, and you're not going to have respect because people have a right to believe what they want to believe. And what we need to do is to start something on the ground in these communities, because there are a lot of organizations, like someone had just mentioned about, you know, parenting skills, things of that nature. There are organizations out there. So it's about really creating a movement. How cliche it is, but to build a movement to bring these organizations together, bring people like us who just want to stop the violence and spread the love in these communities. Because trust me, there are a lot of organizations ready to march in with their team of resources, with the team of everything to help move these communities forward. But the thing about it is these communities are blocked, and they're blocked by these national opinion leaders. They're blocked by these folks who cater to these organizations who promote the hate and violence. Because I swear, I mean, you know, BET gets paid off of a lot of the mess that our artists, you know, they come out of their mouths. You know what I mean? And these organizations, they literally put a block, a circle around the entire community, and it's hard to penetrate it. But the only way you're going to be able to penetrate it, it has to be a change from within. Because if these individuals, if we come together and say, you know what, we want a new platform, you know, like I said before, based on being non-judgmental, having respect for everyone, and being truly genuine, just being true skilled helpers, that's our new platform. And then once it takes the traction, trust me, those people are going to move out the way, and they're going to have no choice but to conform to us. So the churches will conform to us. So they're not going to just be, you know, shopping at Joseph A. Banks, you know, driving all the nice the whips and everything like that. You know, they will start using that money in soup kitchens and really being, you know, change agents and true skilled helpers. So, but it's going to start from within, because as long as we're not doing anything, as long as we're not really pushing the issue, nothing is never going to change.
I would like to share I'm sorry, is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead. I said go. Go ahead, Cindy, go ahead.
I would like to share the fact that I do have an agency here in the city of Cleveland. And the name of my agency is Win in Need. The acronym is WIN, W-I-N, to encourage and inspire people to be a winner and win this game of life. I offer anger management. I offer parenting education. And the list goes on. But one of the things that I want to say is that I am struggling to encourage people to enter into the program. What I hear every day is that I don't need that. I don't need your friends. And so there are some programs that are out there. Unfortunately, our people don't move until we have something that's enticing to them. I now have winter coats for young children and also school supplies. I had those back in August and September. They showed up in record numbers to get those free school supplies and to get the free coats. But can I get them to show up for services, for anger management? No. And I guess the question is, how do we address that? Even hard to hire population, those who have a history of addiction, those who have been incarcerated. I have a computer lab where you can come and apply for jobs. It's open. Come and apply. Come and take typing classes. If you need computer course, we will do that as well. Computer lab is empty every day.
I want to chime in for a second. It's interesting that you said that about incarceration, because I am actually in the process. I'm procrastinating. I need to get it done so I can graduate. But I'm trying to finish my master's degree. And my thesis is a feasibility study on such a nonprofit organization, about really trying to focus on making sure that people with criminal records, as well as veterans who have a other than honorable discharge, because under federal law, there, even veterans who served in the military who got out, you know, dishonorable or whatever, they can't get any services. Felons can get services, but they can't get any services. But, you know, I'm trying to, you know, create really just a feasibility study just to understand it more in detail, to have all the data and the statistics behind it. So, but I would love to work with you with that. Also, with the other question, the other thing that you said about how to bring people in, I believe I know how to do it. I mean, I'm not, you know, Mr. Know-It-All and can do everything, but I think I figured out a way. And if you could just, you know, contact me offline, and I can give you more in detail. But just right now, generally, the problem is people, it's almost like, especially with Barack Obama being elected president, folks like, okay, it's over. You know, we've done what we're supposed to do for black people. We elected the first black president. We're tired of hearing this about these communities and that community and this and that. Folks are literally tired. So in order to get it, it's almost like, and another thing I could say is the boy who cried wolf. That's an analogy that I'm using also, like in this book that I'm writing. It's like the boy who cried wolf. He cried wolf so much till when a wolf truly come, no one is sympathetic enough to come and try to help you, and you get eaten up by the wolf. And that's what we're going through right now as African Americans, because we've cried wolf with the leadership that we had in the past for so long, so now that the wolf is really here, we're about to get eaten up. So in order to really combat that, we honestly, again, like I say, a lot of stuff I say might sound cliche, but, I mean, people have been doing it for an antiquity, and we need to come together. So with what you're trying to do in Cleveland, the goal would be to try to partner with other organizations that's doing the same similar thing that you're doing, because it's strength in numbers. Just like when it comes to the Stopping the Violence in These Communities initiative, once you know, the organization in Cleveland, you know, a couple of organizations in Cleveland hook up with a couple of organizations in Philly, hook up with a couple of organizations in Chicago, hook up with a couple of, okay, once it spreads like that across this country, on a solid platform in a new and unique direction, when the media take hold to it, all of these organizations that we're talking about who just really want a dollar, they're going to really get nervous because they're like, okay, you know what? Our platform is about to change because they're changing the platform. They're changing the narrative of this story. Because right now they have the complete control of the narrative of our story as African Americans, as black people in America. We need to write our own destiny, and we're not going to be able to do that in individual organizations, individual little movements here and there throughout the country. Now, even if I do get this organization, I'm doing a feasibility study now just for a class project, but if I decide to go ahead and write a business plan and go ahead and go to LegalZoom.com and get everything legalized and create a nonprofit, I'm not going to be able to do it without a coalition of nonprofit organizations as well as federal, state, and local organizations. It's not going to be successful without actually having a coalition. And when you have a coalition, it's almost like, you know, this is an analogy, you know, George Bush going into Iraq all by himself, you know, compared to contrast to Barack Obama saying, hey, if we're going to go into Syria, we're going to have the whole world behind us. You know, we're not going to go into Syria without having the whole world, like he didn't go into Libya without having NATO, which, you know, and it's about building the coalition, because it is extremely difficult to affect the amount of change that we're trying to affect without having a coalition. And a lot of times, even if we're the spokesperson of the organization or we're the one organization that started the movement or started this new initiative, it might be another organization that's more established, that has more resources, and might be a little bit more humble as an organization, and they might need to be the one to take the point, you see? And we as leaders have to have the mentality that, you know what, our goal is not ourselves. Our goal is to stop the violence, spreading more love and humility inside these communities. So we're willing to do whatever. We're willing to sacrifice and just put our ego to the side and to allow these other organizations to come in and push what we're trying to do, because that's the whole point. You know, right now, you know, temporarily, today, tomorrow, you know, we'll get the gratification if we're at the point. But it's not really now. We'll get a gratification 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now when we're dead, because when someone searches on Wikipedia or going to a real encyclopedia, they're going to see our name in there. You see what I'm saying? We might not get the headlines today, but we will get the headlines tomorrow. And that's the mentality that we have to have if we really want to affect change. We got to build a coalition, because there are organizations out there, like in Colorado, Yeah, in Colorado, for an example, it's an organization that deals with felons who had just got out of prison, for an example. And to be honest, that was a problem that I was afraid of when I got out of the military, because to go in the military, you can get a waiver to go in the military with a criminal record. But when these folks are trying to hire you, it's a totally different ballgame. So when I got out of the military, I mean, I was extremely depressed because I did have a criminal record, personally, you know. And it is very difficult to try to get a job when you have a criminal record. You know what I mean? And that's – I've been unemployed now, you know, just another personal story, now for the past 2 years. And because of the fact I have a criminal record, you know, try to get a job at the – you know, the Federal Bureau of a Prison, and they said, hey, you know, you've been in jail over 45 days. You know, I was in there for, like, what, 5 months in a county jail because I've been in there over five, and this is before, this is back when I was, like, 19 years old, before I even went in the military, before I graduated from college. And they said, no, you can't work for us. All I want to do is continue to serve my country, and they said, no, you can't, not in this capacity. And I'm getting the door shut on me in every turn that I make. And I'm genuinely trying to make a difference for my country. And, the door is being shut on me. So, I mean, you know, there are organizations out there. But, again, in my unique situation and in the situation of probably millions of other Americans based on the research from the data that I'm getting, there is really no organization out there in the United States of America that's designed to address issues like the issues that I'm facing. You know what I mean?
Well, brother,
because
Antonio, I don't mean to cut
that,
you off.
That we are facing.
Hold on, gentlemen, ladies, hold on. I have something I'm going to read that I'm going to give everybody a chance for a quick closing statement. But I just wanted to read this. I wrote this over a month ago, and the title of it is called Our Time. So bear with me while I read this, okay? I was inspired to write this blog after listening to President Obama accept his nomination for re-election in November. This blog is not meant to offend anyone who is not African American. Hopefully it will inspire others who are not African Americans and need a wake-up. African Americans, and this is our time. We've had 4 years to catch on to the fact that this is our time. Should God bless us with 4 more years under our current president, let's not blow it. It's time to free ourselves from ourselves. We've been waiting far too long for the opportunity we now have. We must capitalize on President Obama being in the White House. Excuse me a second while I clear my throat. We've been praying and asking God to help us. Well, God has delivered. Now it's up to us not to take God's grace and mercy for granted. It's time to better educate ourselves and better educate our children. The first family is living in the house they said we would never occupy. It is the proof of what we can do as African Americans. There are no more excuses we can make for our conditions. We now have a leader who, when he speaks, is telling us how to lift up ourselves to the level we need to be. Yes, he is the President of the United States, not the President of Black America. Still, we can achieve what others believe we can. Black men, it's time to change our mindsets about ourselves, our children, and black women. Black women, it's time to change your mindset about your children and black men. Black family values and unity must be a priority. It's time to stop being led astray by false prophets on Sunday morning. God is watching and waiting for us to catch on to the fact that if we really want change, that change begins with us. God has more patience than we can ever imagine. How much longer shall we choose to procrastinate and believe in someone else is going to do it for us? Our troubled youth and young adults are being led to the grave in prison by those who know that this is our time. Our children's education is being sabotaged by those who know that education is the key to our rise as African Americans. Education will bring us where we need to be economically. Our spirituality needs a major overhaul. Some of us are giving their money to churches instead of investing in their community. This type of foolishness needs to stop. One of the reasons we don't have as many black-owned businesses as we should is because we are not investing in our community. Instead, we have allowed others to profit in our community. We don't have to stand nor go along with it. This mindset of everybody's angry at each other needs to stop. Instead, let's begin the healing process of ourselves. We are the only race that's stingy with each other. The more we share, the more we rise. Our time may be the only chance we get to rise as a people. Self-help is the best help. Our rise is not to oppress others. It's to bring us to the level we can and need to be as African Americans in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get your last comment, and then I am going to close the show for the evening. I'm going to start with Miss Cindy. Ladies first, what is your final comment?
I want to say fantastic show. I love the topic. And as a community, we have to get back the cohesion. We have to work together. We have to work collectively for the betterment of our children in redirecting this mindset that our children have subscribed to. That's it. Great, great show.
Thanks again, Miss Cindy, for calling in. I'll be tuning in this Tuesday, 8 p.m. I missed you last week, but I let you know. I gave you a pass. The debate was on. Brother Everett. Your final comment.
I'm enjoying it. I say amen to every piece that you just now finished reading. I love the beauty of truth. I want each and every one of you to understand, if there is no such thing as psychology in everything that you do, then you are not really humanly using your brain to do the things you do. You're just using your intellectual active ability just to be programmed to do, but there is no good sense there. I say that to be able to say that if you're biblically reading, if you're biblically respecting, and you understood why Jesus had tears in his eyes when you turned his place of prayer into a place of business, if you understood why he had tears in his eyes then and what he did when he began to show how upset he was about the matter, then you'll be eager to walk as he walked. You'll be happy to be as upset to see that this world we call our home, our land, humanity, you would be upset enough to do the same as Jesus did. You'll be upset what they have done to this land, this place of prayer. Again, my name is Efron Cherry. I'm the street educator. You can look my name up. I'm also a guest speaker for those of them that happen to call me. I have a great number of people too afraid to call the mind of a man like me to the floor because it hurts their pride, their feelings, and it's like Satan. I dethrone you, Satan. You have to get out when you get the mind of a man like me. So, again, I enjoyed every piece of what you put on the floor tonight, and each and every one of you individuals that's calling in telling me there's a child somewhere listening, there's a young mind somewhere listening, and the next generation stands a better chance of being a better tomorrow with a better mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Efren. As always, you're always welcome here. Brother Bertram, final comment.
Yes, I'd like to say everything that we've faced and talked about this evening is a big challenge. Yet I do believe if we apply this knowledge and wisdom in the each one teach one format, it can spark the evolution we need as a people to raise our lower class into a socially independent society, no matter what race, religion, creed we happen to be. Sisters and gentlemen, we have families to take care of, and that was our God-given duty. That don't equal selling drugs, being involved in anything illegal or anything corrupt whatsoever, whether it be from the streets to the parishes. A man plans for the future. He don't just simply live in a moment. Thank you, brothers and sister, very much for your wisdom.
and as the Black Man Stand Up Movement founder, God bless you all in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Virgin. Thank you for your support. And finally, but not least, Brother Antonio.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to speak to everyone today. I want to apologize because I think I said the S word, and I feel that a lot of the brothers and sisters on this call right now are extremely religiously motivated, and I apologize for saying the S word. I just would like to say that going forward, we truly do need to build a new platform, and the platform should be built on a lot of the things that everyone is saying this evening, especially with what your organization is built upon as well. You know, we need to become skilled helpers, and this platform, again, should be one of skilled helpers, having empathy, being non-judgmental, having respect, and being truly genuine. And I think that if we literally develop a platform based on those fundamentals, we will be successful in all of our endeavors. Good night.
Thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you for speaking tonight. Wow, I mean, y'all really brought it. I hope those that were listening tonight, I hope you took some of this in, because each and every comment, as far as I'm concerned, was important. We got a lot of work to do when it comes to loving our community, ourselves, in order for us to save our children's lives. We need love in the community. Our children are dying on a daily basis due to gun violence. You may not see it much on the TV because the media is controlled. Most of the time when you do see it, there's a video involved. But believe me, our children are still killing each other on a daily basis, 24/7. It is truly up to us to bring love back to the community, and unconditional love. Time to reach out to the child who don't belong to you. It's time to reach out to that child you know lives next door who's not getting the love they need. This is how we grow, because gun violence must go. With that, the more love we put in, the sooner we will get peace in our community. So let's practice no violence so that we will know peace. Listen, I'm Tony Nix. I'm your host of tonight's show, EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. I am also the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. You can find us on Facebook or go directly to our website at www.EnoughIsEnoughSaveOurChildren.org. Register, become a part of the movement for the betterment of our communities, to help save children's lives. The children are the future, not the lost generation, as some has called them. There is hope, but what we need to change is the hopeless mindset. Until next Sunday, no violence. We will truly know peace. Good night, everyone.
Peace.
But Spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.